And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
We are exploited. We are downtrodden. We are denied not only civil rights, but even human rights. So the only way we're going to get some of this oppression and exploitation away from us or aside from us is come together against a common enemy.
I don't want you to protest, I don't want you to ride, I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being, God damn it! My life has value!
We get together, have a few laughs.
Got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake.
She ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here.
The rapture's here.
And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Cicadas.
Although I love
for the first time in
cicadas,
like
cicada.
Two different kinds of cicadas are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many, many years.
No, every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe... You know better.
But in a way,
all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that, you know, either climate change exists.
That's more
or something
point.
Is really
or the
going
earth
on.
Is
earthquakes are not at the mercy of climate change. It's underground.
No. It happens.
And the
eclipse, they've known about the eclipse coming because eclipses happen.
What a bunch of cackling jackals. First off, sorry. This is the Iowa Talk, guys. I'm TP.
I'm Iraq.
I'm Theo.
And that was The View.
The experts over there at The View.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this, we survived the solar eclipse.
So far, we're recording while the eclipse is still happening, actually.
Yeah.
When are the cicadas coming?
We'll find out here shortly.
Cicadas. It's going to be a cicada apocalypse.
Cicadas.
Cicada apocalypse. Need to start the hashtag cicada apocalypse.
Yeah, should we? We'll put it in the show notes.
Cicada apocalypse.
Yeah. So... apparently, this happens. What did Whoopi say every 17 years?
That's what Whoopi said. I don't know what her background in, you know, biology is or whatever, but...
late April.
So, yeah, this is an ABC News. The cicadas are coming. What to expect from the double brood emergence of trillions of breeding singing bugs. By Andy Fees and Julia Jacobo. April 7th, 2024. The neighboring emergence of a once-in-a-lifetime event, entomologists say. Yeah, that was the word you were looking for, entomologists. We're not entomologists. Yeah. Apparently, Whoopi is.
We are not. No, but Whoopi is, and the other one read some shit somewhere.
But we're just going to read some shit, too, because we're not entomologists.
No.
The sight and sound of trillions of cicadas surfacing across much of America, a massive invasion of two separate groups called broods emerging at the same time, has scientists buzzing. For the first time in more than 200 years, two broods, brood 16 known as the Great Southern Brood and brood 13 known as the Northern Illinois Brood, will emerge from the ground simultaneously. 13 and 16. Oh no, that's 19, I'm sorry. Brood 19 is the Great Southern one.
It's a 13-year cycle. And brood 13 is a 17-year cycle.
Oh, so Whoopi just split the difference. But
Whoopi!
She was mistaken when it was, you know, because they said this is a once-in-a-lifetime event. There's not extensive overlap between the two broods. Some regions, especially in America's heartland, will experience a double whammy of cicada occupation, experts told ABC News. Experts use that.
There's going to be a double whammy.
A double whammy.
That's a scientific term. Check it out.
Looks like we're a little...
rapture's coming.
Looks like we're a little further north than the double whammy, but we'll get...
we're going to get some of it.
The great... The Northern Illinois brood whammy, perhaps.
Yeah, the cicadas will be everywhere. Their nymphs and exoskeletons will litter the ground, and adults will be seen on trees and nearby plants throughout suburban areas as well as flying around in the air, Evan Lampret, a professor in the Department of Biology at the University of North Georgia, told ABC News. Yeah, it's going to be like something out of the book of Exodus.
Yeah. You know what I just thought of? Need to get some freaking chickens or some ducks and geese.
You're going to have them caged up good and get away from these cicadas.
Well, no. They can eat the cicadas.
Oh, okay.
You know?
But we'll see what happens. It will be an amazing experience to witness the insects come out of the ground to mate and lay their eggs before they disappear back into the ground, said Tamara Real, an entomologist at the University of Missouri.
Missouri.
It's magical. That's part of their name, she said. Their genius name is Magicata.
Magic Cicada.
Magic. I like Magic Cicada.
Magic Mike Cicada.
Cicada.
Magic Cicada.
And it's because it's a magical experience. Some Aleister Crowley magic.
Does it sound magical, E-Rock?
Yeah, what happened with that today?
100 years ago. No, 1901. We talked about this with Drew Misson. Aleister Crowley performed that ritual on his honeymoon in the King's Chamber and the Great Pyramid. And then for 3 days, he had some gray-looking alien thing standing over his shoulder, whispering in his ear, and he wrote it down and became the Book of the Law. Yeah, go check out that episode. We'll leave a link in the description for that. That was a great talk we had with Drew Misson. Anyways, amplifying the excitement surrounding the experience will be the upcoming total solar eclipse. So this is from 7th, which was yesterday. With both events coming so close together, this will give the public, quote, a chance to see science in action, nature in action, and see them working together, unquote, she said. Science in action. Is that like the rockets they shot at the eclipse?
I don't know.
The science.
I wonder if there are any good, like, cicada recipes out there, though.
Have fun with that.
Are you serious? Calm down, Bill Gates. Yeah. Cicada burger, anyone? He would love that.
Oh, if we could harvest these cicadas
and feed them to the masses.
Soylent Green.
Protein powder out of them.
Ugh. Apparently, Tyson's and some other companies allegedly have already been putting filler. Butt filler.
Totally ugly insects. But, yeah, just like the front of the protein powder package would be like a lower torso of a lower body of a real buff dude, and then a upper body or the face of a cicada. Be nuts.
So, yeah, brood 19 only surfaces every 13 years, while brood 13 emerges every 17 years, according to this article. So, Whoopi was right about that one. We'll have to give her that. The last times these two broods emerged together was in 1803, when Thomas Jefferson was president of the U.S., and the next time they will co-emerge is not expected for another 221 years until about 2,245, forecast shows. That's really crazy. It's a statistical anomaly, like Haley's comment said. Keith Clay, a professor at Tulane University Departments of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology. So, yeah, it's going to be pretty wild. They're really happy about all the awesome science behind it, right?
Who isn't?
I mean, it's going to be a wild to see. Yeah, they're crazy, hideous-looking bugs.
They are.
We'll have to get some flamethrowers. Can you eat cicadas? Oh, you scroll down here. So there you go.
Oh, really?
The sudden massive emergence of cicadas offers up opportunities for sustainable sustenance, according to the experts.
Chocolate-covered cicadas?
Ugh. Like many bugs, cicadas are packed with protein, and they feed everybody, including fish, snakes, small mammals, large animals, birds. I like to think of this event as potentially buffering some of the losses that we've seen in our wildlife populations, said some expert, that Clay guy.
Clay. Bill Clay.
There's always some adventurous people who get together and have cicada potlucks.
Yeah, I was just reading that.
Menus of cicada dishes and cocktails emerge with each emergency of periodical cicadas. Evident in the online cookbook devoted to cicada cuisine published by the University of Maryland in 2021 called Cicadalicious.
Also, I mean, you skipped this part here, though. It says that who has seen cicadas put in soups, bread, and brownies.
Oh,
he said they taste like asparagus.
Oh, gross.
How about some brownies instead of some lovely walnuts?
Cicadas.
Some cicadas.
That sounds gross.
Have you ever had asparagus casserole?
No.
It's actually really good.
I bet it would be. I like asparagus. I don't think bugs, crunchy
cicada
bugs.
Yeah. Casserole.
And of course, it'd be the University of a university that would publish this. It's so good for you that we've done the science behind it.
We've done the science behind it.
Well,
eat your heart out, Greta Thunberg.
Remember Starship Troopers.
The only good bug is a dead bug.
That's right.
Rico's Roughnecks. During another mass emergence several years ago, Sparky's Ice Cream in Columbia, Missouri featured cicada ice cream. Boiled and candied, the bugs were made into a cold concoction, quote, basically like a butter pecan flavor, unquote, manager Tony Lason told ABC News. Ugh. No.
Well, we've talked about Rocky Mountain oysters. I mean,
yeah, they're tasty.
That's true.
It's a good meal.
I'd have to be hard up to be eating some cicadas, man.
Yeah.
You should trick your kid into doing it. Like my dad did with the Rocky Mountain oysters.
No.
Why?
See how he thinks, what he thinks. He might be like, yeah, dad, this is really good.
That's not an apples to apples.
And then you start laughing at him.
Bugs are different than meat.
But did your dad eat it too?
Yeah.
Okay. Meat is easier to eat than.
No, if it's all candied.
You want some candied Rocky Mountain oysters? You got some candied nuts.
Oh, I'd rather have it like
like chocolate covered bacon,
fried or grilled or something. Ugh, no.
You've never had chocolate covered bacon?
That's actually surprisingly good. I've had a bacon vanilla shake before. The sweet and salty is a surprisingly delicious mix.
No, thank you.
It's fine. Anyways, there's that. Also,
we're apparently having an emergence of Asian beetles already.
Yes. Hopefully the cicadas eat them.
Yeah. Did I mention they stink?
Hey, and they stink! Did I mention that before?
We have from antiwar.com, April 7th, 2024, Gallant, Israel withdrawing from southern Gaza to prepare for Rafah invasion. This is from Dave DeCamp. The Israeli military announced on Sunday that it was withdrawing troops from parts of southern Gaza in a step Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant said was being taken to prepare for an assault on Rafah, the southern city on the Egyptian border that's packed with 1.5 million Palestinians. Now, the source on that was the Jerusalem Post. The withdrawal of troops from Khan Yunis was carried out after Hamas ceased to function as a military organization in the city and forces left to prepare for the operation in Rafah, Gallant said. Lieutenant General Herzi Halevi, the head of the Israeli military, said the withdrawal does not mean the Israeli slaughter of Palestinians would end anytime soon. Quote, "The war in Gaza continues, and we are far from stopping. Senior Hamas officials are still in hiding. We will get to them sooner or later," he said. According to the Jerusalem Post, the withdrawal means Palestinians can move freely in southern Gaza and in the city of Khan Yunis. But the Israeli military is still keeping northern Gaza cut off from the south. The White House said the Israeli announcement was likely about rest for the Israeli troops who have been in southern Gaza for 4 months. Quote, "As we understand it and through their public announcements, it is really just about rest and refit for these troops that have been on the ground for 4 months and not necessarily, that we can tell, indicative of something coming, of some coming new operation for these troops," end quote, said National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
Soulless, dead-eye Kirby.
Crocodile tears, Kirby.
Yeah, crocodile tears.
Israel's plans to attack Rafah have been a source of tensions between the government of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the White House. Although there's no sign the U.S. has threatened to cut military support if Israel goes ahead with the invasion.
Well, that's not what I heard, bro.
What'd you hear?
I heard that Hamas, this is a victory. That the U.S. put pressure on Israel and they backed off.
Oh, yeah? Who told you that?
That's according to this article from Breitbart, or We Are Breitbart.
We Are Breitbart.
We Are Breitbart. After U.S. pressure, IDF leaves southern Gaza. Hamas declares victory. The Israeli Defense Forces, IDF, announced Sunday, which would have been April 7th, that it had withdrawn its forces from southern Gaza following a demand from U.S. President Joe Biden last week for an, quote, immediate ceasefire. I can't do a Biden.
Immediate ceasefire.
Come on. Hey, you know, you're just going to do a ceasefire, man.
Pancakes.
Ceasefire.
It's no joke.
Unquote. Hamas declared victory on the news.
Serious.
So what I'm calling for is for the Israelis to just call for a ceasefire, allow for the next 6-8 weeks total access to all food and medicine going into the country.
The decision coming on the day Israel marked 6 months since the October 7th attack came as a surprise.
What a bunch of jokesters.
No kidding. As Israeli negotiators flew to Cairo for hostage negotiations, Hamas has demanded a ceasefire before any new deal.
No soup for you. No soup for you.
Ceasefire. The IDF will leave one brigade in Gaza whose role will be to allow Israeli troops access to return as necessary. It will also carry out targeted operations such as the successful raid at Shifa Hospital last month.
Huh?
The Jerusalem Post reported. The IDF on Sunday, April 7th, announced that it had concluded the active invasion stage of the war for now, while leaving open the possibility of a future new invasion of Rafah in deep southern Gaza.
Yeah, where everybody's at, or at least like 1.5 million people from what I hear.
Although a top IDF official said that this change had nothing to do with U.S. pressure, the timing was unmistakable and coming right after the IDF's disastrous, mistaken killing of 7, quote, humanitarian aid workers.
Humanitarian aid unquote, workers.
Last week.
That's right.
Hamas immediately declared the IDF withdrawal even partial, a victory for sticking to its position of demanding IDF withdrawals, including of troops in northern Gaza. As Breitbart News reported, Biden demanded an immediate ceasefire, quote unquote, in response to the accidental killing of 7 World Central Kitchen aid workers last Tuesday.
Right.
When an IDF drone team mistook them for Hamas terrorists.
Did they?
Oops, sorry. I thought you were a Terry.
That if them Terries is gonna try something up in here today like the bounce, boogie, and bump, then we got this shit on lock.
They had the top of the car painted.
Right. Yeah, if you go look at the pictures, it's like... They're disguising themselves as humanitarian aid workers.
Yeah, they had like symbology on the car, right? Like aid workers, right?
The Israeli drone that fired the fatal missiles would have been operated in conjunction with a surveillance drone, meaning the Israeli military would have had total visibility of the cars, including the World Central Kitchen logo.
Aid workers don't drive around with rifles in their truck.
But then you hear that like 3 of the British aid workers that were killed
were like SAS
or SAS or something,
former
like that.
SAS former, or something. Yeah. And I think the American got killed was like a former veteran as well.
It's weird. Yeah, former something. Can't remember.
You want to look that up? Jeeves?
The 3 British nationals that were killed in the attack were all former British soldiers who were working for a UK-based security firm, Solis Global, as part of WCK's security team. Jacob Flickinger was a dual US-Canadian born in Quebec, and had served 11 years in the Canadian Armed Forces. He had been a volunteer in Gaza since early March. More than 196 aid workers have been killed in Gaza since October, according to the US-funded Aid Worker Security Database, which records major incidents of violence against aid personnel.
Anyway. Yeah, that's interesting. So... one side is saying, no, we planned this withdrawal for our holiday, and we're going to come back, and we're going to cleanse our hands in the blood of the Palestinians.
That's right. The tribe of Amalek.
Well, maybe this would be a good time to bring up that red heifer.
Tribe of Amalek.
We shall smite them and then build the altar.
The altar's already built.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
No,
yeah.
I mean, I've seen the pictures, but and I thought it was already built, but that I've also heard that that was just a model. So I don't know.
Well, it's on the Mount of Olives overlooking the Temple Mount.
Is it?
The Dome on the Rock.
Where Jesus was crucified?
Jesus, no, where Jesus had performed miracles and stuff. The Mount of Olives, that's also where he went to go pray to ask God to take this cup from me, where he cried blood.
Oh, yeah.
Like a real man. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Intense. Which is a physical thing that happens to your body. If you're in extreme amounts of stress, that actually, that happens to people.
Right.
Where, like, you know something heavy's coming. And
yes.
You know? And your body's just like,
no. Pump the brakes.
Right? And then you're just so stressed out, your body's like, oh, and you start crying blood. They come out of your pores and stuff, dude. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Jeeves, what is that that scientific condition?
That physiological condition.
This condition is known as hemolacria.
No, it's real. It can be explained.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, this is a MidnightCarrier.com article. The 2024 Red Heifer Sacrifice, a Global Religious Phenomenon, written March 29th, 2024. Exploring the ancient ritual and its modern sacrifice. In recent times, a curious topic has captured the attention of people worldwide, the possibility of a red heifer sacrifice in Israel during the year 2024. This seemingly obscure event holds profound implications for various religious communities. Jewish believers view it as a pivotal step toward reinstating their ancient sacrificial system after nearly two millennia, bringing about their Messiah.
This is fucking dumber than, like, witch fucking sacrificing.
Well, they had a temple where they could sacrifice, but it was toppled to the ground and burnt in 72 AD by the Romans.
So are they going to eat them when they're done?
They lost their temple.
They're not going to grill up some steaks?
They burn it to ash. We'll get into it. For Christians, it aligns with biblical prophecy fulfillment, while Muslims perceive it as a part of a larger geopolitical struggle. As anticipation builds, questions arise. What is the significance of this ritual? When will it occur? And let's delve into these details.
Where's PETA?
Where's PETA?
That's a good question.
Yeah, well, they don't exist in Israel. They'd probably get shot. Well, look what happened to the KitchenAid workers, right? Yeah. PETA'd show up and then get drone bombed by the IDF.
Or the Orthodox Jews.
Yeah, or the Palestinians. Not the Palestinians, sorry, Hamas.
The gay pride parades would be fine, though.
Yeah. Anyways, red heifer, the symbolism and history. The red heifer, a rare and meticulous selected bovine, plays a central role in the Jewish tradition. According to ancient texts, its ashes were used in purification rituals, particularly for cleansing priests and sacred objects. Only 9 red heifers were ever sacrificed from the time of Moses until the destruction of the Second Temple. In 70 AD, the 10th red heifer.
That was like over a course of 3,500 years.
Yeah, that's a lot. The 10th red heifer, as prophesied by Maimonides, is believed to usher in the Messianic Age. The 2022 arrival, 5 perfect red heifers, quote unquote perfect. In 2022, 5 flawless red heifers were flown into Israel from Texas. Although too young for sacrifice at the time, their arrival signaled a significant development. Fast forward to 2024, and these heifers are now mature enough for the sacred ritual. The preparation, altar, priests, and location. Qualified priests led by Itshak Mamo have diligently prepared for the red heifer sacrifice. An impressive white altar described as, quote, massive, awaits atop the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. This location holds historical significance as it directly faces the spot where the ancient Second Temple once stood, a temple raised by the Romans in 70 AD. The countdown, when will it happen? The clock ticks inexorably. The clock ticks inexorably. Words are hard. Itshak Mamo initially estimated the sacrifice to occur in the second half of 2024. However, recent statements suggested it could happen sooner. Mamo asserts that the heifers merely need to pass a final purity test. The Temple Institute aims to conduct the ceremony before Passover 2024, falling on April 22nd. Yeah, so Passover 2024 falls on April 22nd.
So it's a ginger cow?
We're on a new calendar.
Yeah. So it makes sense if it was the beginning of the new year and have a sacrifice. Conclusion. Or no, what did you have to say, Erock?
It's a ginger cow, just to confirm.
Ginger, yeah, red.
Red.
Red heifer.
Red ginger.
Does it have no soul?
These ones might not, because like we discussed with Drew on that episode, is that these are our crisper baby heifers.
Is it like a higher cut than Wagyu?
No, it's like genetically.
Is it kosher? We did
a fucking episode on this. Erock.
Yeah, clones and chimeras.
Clones, man.
You think with Hank listen? And Chef.
Holy shit. Love you, buddy.
Yeah, go listen to that show, too.
People not listening to you.
Well, it's a good one. Anyways, as the world watches, the red heifer sacrifice remains shrouded in mystery. When will it take place? Only time will reveal this ancient rite's significance. A convergence of faith, prophecy, and history. Whether it sparks global fervor or quietly unfolds, its impact resonates across religious boundaries. I don't know. Like I said, just the significance of that could be very big worldwide. Could.
Yeah. Especially since it's like genetically modified.
They're supposed to mix it with the ashes of the other heifers that go back to Moses, corrupting basically, you know, what was holy.
Yeah.
Making considered holy.
Mockery of God's image.
I don't know.
God's creation.
I don't think the rapture is going to happen, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so either, personally. I mean, I think, yeah, there's a point at which the Holy Spirit's no longer here, right? And Christ pulls his people up, but that could be pretty late in the game.
I think it's going to be a lot later than what people are being told now.
Yeah.
Like, they're so special. You're so fucking
special. The American church is real special.
Mm-hmm.
They love them some Israel.
Much more special than the disciples ever were.
Haaretz opinion. In 6 months in Gaza, Israel's worst ever war achieved nothing but death and destruction, by Gideon Levy, April 7th, 2024. Sunday is the six-month anniversary, and it seems this won't be the war's last six-month milestone. No one in Israel has any idea how to end the worst war in its history, whose costs are piling up at an alarming rate, and whose benefits are negligible, non-existent, in fact. That is why we must muster the courage to say, after 6 months of calamities, that it would have been better had it not broken out.
The deadliest war.
No, no. Israel did not have a choice. Israel did have a choice. Don't go to war. If these are its results, it would have been better to show restraint, to punish those who should have been punished for the horrors of October 7th, and move on. Well, that sounds pretty reasonable. You mean instead of terrorizing the entire population of Gaza for something that they didn't do and they had no control over?
What are you talking about? They were all in on it, dude.
Oh, yeah. It's anti-Semitic to say, to show any compassion for people in Gaza.
Correct. Yeah. We don't want to be labeled as that.
Damn it. Everyone would have benefited apart from Israel's masculine and military ego, which always imposes disproportionate repayment and punishment, whatever the price may be. This is a supremely childish and foolish policy. Scariest of all is the fear that Israel will behave this way vis-a-vis Iran. Which, yes, that is very scary. We talked about that previously.
With Drew.
Yeah. How Israel... Iran will be used to get bigger players involved. Make sense, Erock?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for filling me back in.
Like, Israel can drag the U.S. in. Russia's already claimed they'll back Iran.
Yeah. And China, I saw today, strengthened their ties with
Ukraine joining NATO.
Yeah. That's what, according to Antony Blinken.
Yeah, Ukraine's about to get fucked up.
That's a human travesty. It already is. From what we know, pretty much.
Yeah, well, I think that with their willingness to make a deal, they haven't seen shit yet.
All right. Not even the most advanced ground-penetrating radar could burrow into the ruins of Gaza and its graves to find a single benefit Israel has gained from this war.
Yeah, this is why I wanted to include this, and it's Israel, right?
The unprecedented mountains of damage, by contrast, are visible to the naked eye. That is extremely tragic to see.
Yeah.
The building, the Gaza Strip, what it used to look like, and then you can go see now drone flyby footage, and it's just war's hell, dude.
Saw allegedly a child that had got hit with white phosphorus and had no eyelids anymore. It's pretty
horrific.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It has all been said before to no effect, but worst of all is the damage to Israel's moral reputation and, as a result, its global standing. This is near irreversible. It will take years for Russia to recover its position after Ukraine. Israel, similarly, will have to work for years to recover its position after Gaza. But Israel is not Russia. It is much more vulnerable. See, I agree with that. Now, you can't measure the amount of young men that have died, right?
Right.
In service for your country. I mean, the U.S. government can. It's literally a number, an amount to them. You know, especially to the people. It's nothing to be messed with. So, but other than that, like economically, I don't think that Ukraine is a hit to Russia at all. It's not. We've talked about it a million times. Economically, Ukraine is not hurting Russia.
No. All the sanctions the U.S. have put on Russia because of this crap in Ukraine, not it hurting them at all.
Nope. So, yes, they're losing men. It's tragic. Both sides are. It's tragic. But no, Russia has not been economically harmed. I would disagree with that. We're not really going to have much recuperation after this, other than the families that have lost loved ones. But yes, Israel is much more vulnerable. This is where it gets really good, I think. Set aside all of the stories about anti-Semitism abroad. Only some are true. Anyone who sees what Israel is doing in Gaza could be expected to hate and despise it. But never mind the world. Look at what has happened to us. We were always indifferent to the Palestinian suffering, but now we have set new monstrous records for this indifference. Limbs are routinely amputated at the Sidi Tiamin detention facility, and there's no reaction. There are 17,000 children in Gaza who have been orphaned or separated from their parents. Israel's physicians aren't protesting over Sidi Tiamin, nor are its social workers over the starving children and those who have died or been killed. We have become as monsters, not only in our actions, but above all, in our apathy. Wow. He's really going for the kill shot here. Anyway, he just goes on to explain how, you know, it's not going to be good for Israel. You could catch his tone there. I would encourage everybody to go read the article.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Well, it's already escalated this, according to Axios.
By Will Chase and Allison Snyder.
Anglicized Snyder.
Snyder.
April 7th, 2024, Gaza buildings and land decimated in 6 months of war. There is an amazing infographic on this. Do you guys see it?
Yeah, I was just watching it.
It's wild.
Looks crazier than the COVID.
Yeah.
Death
ramps.
IDF is way more efficient than Ebola.
And COVID.
So yeah, it's just an infographic. And basically it shows buildings damaged or destroyed in Gaza from October 7th to present. And Gaza just progressively, starting in the north, moving south, gets worse and worse. I mean, the whole place is unlivable at this point, I would imagine.
Strikes have hit every population center along the strip, killing more than 33,000 people and displacing about 85% of Gaza's population.
Yeah. For 100 hostages, Israeli hostages. I found this interesting. Even prior to October 7th, years of Israeli blockade and military operations in the densely populated enclave left many in Gaza with inadequate access to clean water, electricity, or sewer.
Yeah.
Okay, see, that's treating people like animals. Maybe motivate you to strap yourself to a box fan in a glider.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's I have sympathy for these people there. It's terrible, dude. That would be absolutely awful to be there. And they literally have, like, no way to escape. to get out.
The latest. Between October 7th and April 2nd, Israeli military operations damaged or destroyed more than 50% of buildings in the Gaza Strip, including more than 70% in the northern regions, as we said. And yes, that was hit first. And they told everybody to move to the south, and they started bombing the shit out of it.
Yeah. That's terrible.
That was according to an analysis of satellite data conducted by Jamin Vandenhoek of Oregon State University and Corey Schur of CYNU Graduate Center.
CUNY.
City University of New York, I would imagine. Who gives a shit?
Well, if you look down here a little bit, a separate satellite analysis of agricultural damage by He Yin of Kent State University found Israel operations destroyed roughly 50% of tree crops and 42% of greenhouses within Gaza.
I mean, what in the hell? Why?
Yin tells Axios, the level of destruction is, quote, much higher than other war-affected places I've studied, such as Chechnya and Syria.
Wow.
Unquote.
Going after trees, like almond trees and stuff, probably olive trees, and greenhouses.
This is Israel's war, dude. This is...
I mean, we always knew it. I mean,
it's
it.
No different. Who do they learn from?
Union Army.
Was it necessary for the U.S. to bomb all those fucking hospitals and water treatment facilities and stuff in the Gulf War?
No.
When we were there for, like, what, a couple months?
Operation Desert Storm began with the aerial bombing campaign against Iraq on January 17, 1991. And came to a close with the American-led liberation of Kuwait on February 28, 1991.
And then put sanctions on them that they can't rebuild it? So
you remember when they marched all those Cherokee to Oklahoma?
That's a long time ago. I'm talking about people that are still alive, and our government nowadays did that shit.
Yeah. Sickening.
Yeah. They learned from the best.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, many of the olive groves in northern Gaza were destroyed or weren't harvested in October and November when Israel invaded the region. Yeah, because they were afraid they were going to get shot.
Yeah. It's freaking Hunger Games out there, dude.
Happy Hunger Games. And may the odds be ever in your favor.
I mean, yeah. If it moves, you shoot it, okay?
Okay.
My God, it's coming right for us!
I want to drink the blood.
Yeah, go check that article out.
The main agricultural crop, olive trees. So 50% of those. Yeah, unreal. Crazy.
Absolutely wild.
So this Axios article continues with, quote, "These trees lived through my moments of joy and sadness," end quote. Khalid Baraka, a resident of Gaza, told Al Jazeera. He continued, quote, "They know my secrets. When I was sad and worried, I would talk to the trees, take care of them. But the war killed those trees."
And that is how you create terrorists.
Yeah.
Killing the things that they love.
Trees have feelings.
They do, man.
Yeah, there's a book about that.
I don't know if I'd be telling my secrets, though. People can hear.
What do you think his secret was?
Trees have loose lips.
Sink ships.
It's true.
What was the secret?
I don't know. Maybe his secret was that he never did that at all. What do you think his secret was there, E-Rock?
I don't know.
All right.
What are you getting on me for?
Agricultural land bombed out. We saw 33,000 dead, up to like 117,000 estimated under the rubble. They haven't identified or found casualties, people hit, hurt, amputees, and dead. And I was asking, well, yeah, hasn't the U.S. been the like sole veto a bunch of times for a ceasefire in Gaza on the UN Security Council? So I found a Mises Institute article. The U.S. Vetoes International Action on Gaza by Ilana Mercer. This is April 3rd, 2024. In the world of patronage, it doesn't get much worse. The United States is at Israel's elbow. It is a co-belligerent. In actively sustaining Israel's armed forces and running diplomatic interference for its politicians, America is acting as Israel's, quote, principal sponsor, end quote. Complicit in war crimes, signaling to the Jewish state that it will let it continue to its evil endgame. Yes.
No, dude. No, Joe Biden just saved Southern Gaza. Joe Biden's a savior. Yeah. We just said that.
They had a 30-minute meeting with Netanyahu.
And then they did a ceasefire and pulled out. Hamas victory.
I bet I know who was in charge there.
Not Victoria Nuland. Unless she's working as a contractor.
Maybe she...
maybe she's contracting right now.
Maybe she got a job for the Israeli government.
Yeah. Could have been. You never know.
As I ventured in January, the issuance of the equivalent of a legal cease and desist or a restraining order against a violent offender, Israel, is urgent and long overdue. It's already too late for Gaza as a habitable landmass. While progressives lauded the International Court of Justice, ICJ, my perspective about the court's indecision some months back was dimmer. Disgust, actually. Unfocused as I was on legalistic definitions of genocide, it was obvious to me that what was indubitably mass murder and ethnic cleansing crimes that are in process and ongoing had to be stopped right away. A violent offender, a serial killer, must be stopped, not cautioned and observed. That's an excellent point.
My, how the tables have turned.
So, moving on here in the same article, a Security Council resolution not defanged by the U.S. could have included a call for diplomatic, military, political, and economic sanctions, the freezing of Israeli assets, the deployment of a protection force, and the establishment of a tribunal for future prosecution. I don't think I could see that happening at this point. It is black letter law in the UN Charter that all members of the United Nations are bound to accept and carry out the decisions of the Security Council. The Charter in Article 25 and in subsequent decisions of the International Court of Justice has made it indisputable that the Security Council resolutions are binding for all member states. So not only is the last ceasefire resolution binding, but it opens up an opportunity, given that Israel is in breach of it, to table a resolution for enforcement under Chapter 7 of the United Nations Charter, which, quote, empowers the Security Council to orchestrate collective actions through a military staff committee, end quote. Anyway, that's pretty technical on how the evil United Nations works.
What are they going to do about it?
Well, nothing.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. But anyway, as we've learned, ceasefire is not going to happen.
Don't think so.
No, because they were pulling the troops out. Only to get them ready to assault the South more, further.
Passover's coming up.
So, anyway, can move on to a new subject here. Just real quick. So, from the Libertarian Institute, this should not be a surprise to any listener of this show. The CIA admits its longtime presence in Ukraine. By Brad Pierce, March 13th, 2024. On February 25, the New York Times published an article titled The Spy War, How the CIA Secretly Helps Ukraine Fight Putin. This report was not the result of any leak, but was clearly authorized from the highest level. The CIA brought reporters in to tell the story. Though many spoke on the condition of anonymity to, quote, discuss intelligence matters and sensitive diplomacy, end quote, they do not even create the pretense that this is the story that the CIA doesn't want the public to know. The clear purpose, stated almost explicitly near the end of the article, is to guilt the Republicans in Congress into supporting Ukraine aid, with the argument that we are, quote, in too deep, end quote. And cannot abandon them like our erstwhile allies in Afghanistan. No shit.
We can't. Leave them hanging on a limb like we did with South Vietnam.
Yeah, I'm sure the ones that didn't get pulled out are dead already. The impact of the article was muted, and it was barely discussed outside of those critical of Ukraine aid. because neither the CIA nor the Times seem to have realized the implications of these admissions. Shows that the post-Maidan government of Ukraine proactively made itself the base of a hostile conspiracy against Russia. The short summary of what the New York Times presents is that after the U.S.-backed Maidan Revolution in Ukraine in 2014, which we've talked about so many times.
The Civil War, yeah.
The newly appointed spymaster went to the intelligence headquarters to find that all of the files had been destroyed when the previous government left. He immediately called the CIA and MI6 to form an alliance to counter Russia. They created a specialized anti-Russia division, staffed exclusively by people born after the fall of the USSR, at the time no older than 23, and began training them in spying on and sabotaging Russia. The Ukrainian intelligence agents were anti-Russia zealots who expressed a hatred of all Russian speakers, not simply opposition to Putin's regime or Russian imperialism. The CIA were unable to control their proteges.
Oops.
Who carried out violent missions against Russia and the allied, quote, People's Republics, end quote. This is described as an American beachhead, end quote, unquote, against Russia in Ukraine. Since the February 2022 invasion, the CIA has been involved in acts of war against Russia from a network of U.S.-funded bases across Ukraine.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, so it kind of goes on to explain how it's, you know, why are they doing this? Are they stupid? Are they disclosing? And pretty much I think it concludes, they are proud of what they have done, and they think by telling the world it will encourage more funding. Because they're vampires.
So are you saying that they could maybe, or is this article maybe saying that they could be responsible for a lot of deaths / war crimes in Ukraine? They've been operating there for 10 years now.
Oh, yeah.
Over 10 years, probably.
Yeah, at least the Ukrainian guys. No wonder Russia invaded. There was more today. I can't remember who it was from. I think it might have been the Libertarian Institute, about how, you know, they're even supporting Russian-born Ukrainians supporting bad Nazis. Bad boy Nazis.
Yeah.
To run attacks through Russia and shit.
Bad boy Nazis?
Yeah. Like, not good ones. Like, just flat out overt Nazis.
What's a good Nazi?
Well, apparently, Azov. Azov, remember, they were good Nazis.
According to the world. Okay, I see.
You know, the media and shit. Well, together.
That's just the history of the battalion. I've seen videos of those guys when they were grabbing people off the streets and stripping them. People didn't want to go. They had this one guy tied up to a pole. All these people are walking around.
Duct tape.
Yeah, and they're just beating the shit out of him. Paddling his ass. Bare ass in front of the whole everybody. You don't want to go to the front line?
So, a little more news here. Dave DeCamp, antiwar.com. April 7th, 2024, Ukrainian drone hits Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant. Now, remember, shelling that? We talked about that. On Sunday, a Ukrainian drone struck the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, which is located in southeastern Ukraine and has been under Russian control since February 2022. The plant's officials said there was no serious damage in the attack. The radiation levels were normal. Rosatom, Russia's state nuclear agency, later said 3 people were wounded in the attack. The International Atomic Energy Agency, which has inspectors at the plant, confirmed the drone attack. IAEA experts confirmed, quote, or this was is a quote, IAEA experts confirmed physical impact of drone attacks at ZNPP today, end quote. The agency wrote on X. So Zelensky's not going for, like, positive PR here, is he?
It doesn't look like it.
No. If there's an international agency like that and he's running drones into it and shit.
And it's a nuclear power plant.
Right.
And that's a big deal.
But which later on in the article.
Are they trying to blame Russia?
No, they can't. It's under Russian control and everything. It has been since the beginning.
So Zelensky, I wouldn't necessarily say Zelensky, but these guys are just like,
let's go, cowboy shit.
Yeah, fly this drone into it and shit. But that's not all.
John Wayne.
Stuff that we talked about, I believe, early on in our podcast when we first started. In the last article here, last part, it says, Ukraine controls the territory across the river from the Dnieper River, from the ZNPP, Zaporizhzhia Nuclear Power Plant. And the plant has come under Ukrainian shelling throughout the war. Ukrainian forces have also launched several failed attempts to retake the plant. A report from the Times revealed that the U.S. backed one of the attempts in October of 2022 when 600 Ukrainian commandos tried to cross the river. The U.S. supported the raid by providing targeting data so Ukraine could use its U.S.-provided HIMARS rocket system, which hit Russian positions on the southern bank of the river near the ZNPP.
Wow. Outrageous. Well, I also remember we read on the show that there was propaganda that Ukrainian forces had seen Russian forces practicing hitting the nuclear power plant in certain spots and the dams in certain spots. You remember that?
Yeah, I think so.
And then come to find out, like, after Russia took control over there, that's what they're doing, is, like, trying to target those areas. That's what
Ukraine is doing, yeah.
Yeah. It's just interesting.
Yeah. Soap opera.
We need more money. They're going to take over our power plant.
Or Zelensky.
We need more money. They're going to take over our power plant, and I need more cocaine.
And Rolls Royce. Again, from the Libertarian Institute, Russia repels major drone attack on military base. Kyle Anzalone, he writes for antiwar.com as well. April 7th, 2024, Ukraine conducted a large-scale drone swarm attack on a military base inside Russia, but Moscow's air defense appeared to have downed the UAVs. As Ukrainian forces continue to lose territory across a vast front line, Kyiv has increasingly resorted to attacks on Russian soil. On Friday, Ukraine launched about 50 drones at an airbase in southern Russia, one of its most significant air assaults to date. Though officials in Kyiv claimed several UAVs hit their mark and left some, 14 aircraft, damaged or destroyed, the Kremlin denied the losses and said its air defenses repulsed the attack. Satellite imagery from before and after shows that Russia was able to repel most.
Did they say how? They shot down incoming drones.
Yeah.
They suggested Russia was able to shoot down most of the incoming drones. Yeah, I've seen videos of guys shooting drones out of the sky with shotguns and shit.
In response, Kyiv has conducted multiple air attacks on Russian military and economic targets and launched several cross-border raids. Some of those actions have been carried out with the help of neo-Nazi militias composed of Russian dissidents aligned with Ukraine.
Washington has warned Kyiv that strikes on Russian energy infrastructure are problematic, as the White House airs concerns over rising gas prices during an election year. Additionally, U.S. officials cautioned that targeting Russian energy facilities would lead to reprisals against civilian infrastructure in Ukraine.
A nuke plant?
Yeah. Hey, stupid! It's a nuclear power plant. What do you think you're doing?
Zelensky, we will fix it. I know some good guys. I buy cocaine from them. They are good builders, too.
Yeah.
You know?
They get the good shit.
They are good builders. They can rebuild it for a good deal.
And Rolls Royce. Phantom.
Moscow has conducted some of its largest missile barrages on Ukrainian cities since the war broke out in the early 2022. Boom, pow.
So there's a lot more to talk about, but we got to cut it off here. I brought up some China stuff because I got caught off guard with Drew's question when we were on his show about what if it was some sort of a earthquake weapon or something like that.
Whoa.
Got caught up totally off guard.
When did you bring up China stuff?
No, that was climate change, according to The View.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. But
cicadas.
I know that. I think it's, hold on.
When did you bring up China?
What, Taiwan and the earthquakes?
That was, he brought up Taiwan and the earthquakes being like a China weapon or something like that. But.
Okay, so I'm just going to let you know that came out of nowhere.
Well, the reason I said that is because I brought stuff up for this show, but we're not going to be able to get to it. I just wanted to mention.
Okay.
Janet Yellen visited China. They're going to work shit out. I bet. but a big one, Japan, U.S., Australia, and the Philippines to hold drill in South China Sea. So, shit's getting wild, man.
Wars and rumors of war.
Yeah, that's right. Which there has been for 2,000 years, but...
Yeah, exactly. But it's just a different time. It's really weird. I'm going to tell you right now, whatever happens, the first casualty of war is always...
The truth.
Yeah. Remember that. Write it down.
That's right.
If you guys like this show, please like, follow, subscribe, share, hit the notification button on YouTube and whatnots.
Follow on X at Iowa Talk Guys.
Follow on Rumble and YouTube at Iowa Talk Guys.
Follow us on Instagram at Iowa Talk Guys _ podcast. Share this with your friends, your family.
That's right. Share it over, at Memorial Day. Talk about it.
Share it with some of your coworkers. Only the select few, just the cool ones, not everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool. And fuck you, I'm out.
Only the cool ones will get it.
That's right. So don't be having any squares listen to us, all
right? That's right.
And always remember,
don't eat the yellow cake.
Don't eat the yellow snow.
And don't believe everything you read on the internet. Because as we see now, we survived the solar eclipse. And
the day is not over.
But we gotta wait for the rapture and CERN.
Iowa Talk Guys.
Out.
Hi. Good night, everybody.
I'd rather be here. So thank you very much. Very nice. Appreciate it.